Climb High by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Adapted from an address given in October 1996 General Conference. Climb High. I would like to tell you a story of an excellent athlete, a young man with superb character. He never went to the Olympics, but he stands as tall as an Olympian because he was honest with himself and with his God. The account is told by a coach in a junior high school. He states, "Today was test day in climbing the rope. We climbed from a standing start to a point 15 feet high. My job is to train and teach the boys to negotiate this distance in as few seconds as possible. The school record for the event is 2.1 seconds. It has stood for 3 years. Today, this record was broken." For 3 years, Bobby Palacio, a 14-and-a-half-year-old ninth-grade boy, had trained and worked, consumed by his dream of breaking this record. In his first of three attempts, Bobby climbed the rope in 2.1 seconds, tying the record. On the second try, the watch stopped at 2.0 seconds flat, a record. But as he descended the rope and the entire class gathered around to check the watch, I knew I must ask Bobby a question. There was a slight doubt in my mind whether or not the board at the 15-foot height had been touched. If he missed, it was so very, very close, not more than a fraction of an inch, and only Bobby knew this answer. As he walked toward me, expressionless, I said, "Bobby, did you touch?" If he had said yes, the record he had dreamed of since he was a skinny seventh grader and had worked for almost daily would be his, and he knew I would trust his word. With the class already cheering him for his performance, the slim boy shook his head negatively. And in this simple gesture, I witnessed a moment of greatness. And it was with effort, through a tight throat, that I told the class, "This boy has not set a record in the rope climb. No, he has set a much finer record for you and everyone to strive for. He has told the truth." I turned to Bobby and said, "Bobby, I'm proud of you. You've just set a record many athletes never attain. Now, in your last try, I want you to jump a few inches higher on the takeoff." After the other boys had finished their next turns and Bobby came up for his try, a strange stillness came over the gymnasium. 50 boys and one coach watched breathlessly as Bobby Palacio climbed the rope in 1.9 seconds, a school record, a city record, and perhaps close to a national record for a junior high school boy. When the bell rang and I walked away, I was thinking, "Bobby, at 14, you are a better man than I. Thank you for climbing so very, very high today." Especially for Mormons, 1972, Chapter 1, pages 185 and 186. We all need to know what it means to be honest. Honesty is more than not lying. It is truth-telling, truth-speaking, truth-living, and truth-loving. Another example of honesty comes from a 9-year-old Swiss pioneer child named John, who crossed the plains in one of the handcart companies. His father put a chunk of buffalo meat in the handcart and said it was to be saved for Sunday dinner. John said, "I was so very hungry, and the meat smelled so good to me while pushing at the handcart that I could not resist. I had a little pocket knife. Although I expected a severe whipping when Father found it out, I cut off little pieces each day. I would chew them so long that they got white and perfectly tasteless. When Father came to get the meat, he asked me if I had been cutting off some of it. I said, 'Yes, I was so hungry I could not let it alone.' Instead of giving me a scolding or whipping, Father turned away and wiped tears from his eyes." In Leroy R. Hafen and Ann W. Hafen, Handcarts to Zion, 1960, pages 189 and 190. There are so many in the world who do not seem to know or care about right or wrong. And yet, as Latter-day Saints, we are taught in the 13th article of faith that we believe in being honest. Honesty is a moral compass to guide us in our lives. You young people are under great pressure to learn the technology that is expanding and will continue to expand so rapidly. However, the tremendous push to excel in secular learning sometimes tempts people to compromise that which is more important, their honesty and integrity. Cheating in school is a form of self-deception. We go to school to learn. We cheat ourselves when we coast on the efforts and scholarship of someone else. Jeanette Hales Beckham related this experience her husband had while attending medical school. Getting into medical school is pretty competitive, and the desire to do well and be successful puts a great deal of pressure on the new incoming freshman. My husband had worked hard on his studies and went to attend his first examination. The honor system was expected behavior at the medical school. The professor passed out the examination and left the room. Within a short time, students started to pull little cheat papers out from under their papers or from their pockets. My husband recalled his heart beginning to pound as he realized it is pretty hard to compete against cheaters. About that time, a tall, lanky student stood up in the back of the room and stated, "I left my hometown and put my wife and 3 little babies in an upstairs apartment and worked very hard to get into medical school. And I'll turn in the first one of you who cheats, and you better believe it." They believed it. There were many sheepish expressions, and those cheat papers started to disappear as fast as they had appeared. He set a standard for the class, which eventually graduated the largest group in the school's history. The young, lanky medical student who challenged the cheaters was J. Ballard Washburn, who became a respected physician and was recognized by the Utah Medical Association for his outstanding service. He also served as a general authority and is now the president of the Las Vegas, Nevada Temple. In reality, we are only in competition with ourselves. Others can challenge and motivate us, but we must reach down deep into our souls and call forth our God-given intelligence and capabilities. We cannot do this when we depend on the efforts of someone else. Honesty is a principle, and we have our moral agency to determine how we will apply this principle. We have the agency to make choices, but ultimately we will be accountable for each choice we make. We may deceive others, but there is one we will never deceive. From the Book of Mormon we learn, "The keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there, and there is none other way save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name." 2 Nephi chapter 4, verse 41. When I was a young man, I was inducted into the United States Army Air Corps. One cold night at Chanute Field, Illinois, I was given all-night guard duty. As I walked around my post, I meditated and pondered the whole miserable long night through. By morning, I had come to some firm conclusions. I was engaged to be married and knew that I could not support my wife on a private's pay. In a day or two, I filed my application for Officer's Candidate School. Shortly thereafter, I was summoned before the Board of Inquiry. My qualifications were few, but I had had 2 years of college and had finished a mission for the church in South America. The questions asked of me at the Officer's Board of Inquiry took a very surprising turn. Nearly all of them centered upon my beliefs. "Do you smoke? Do you drink? What do you think of others who smoke and drink?" I had no trouble answering. "Do you pray? Do you believe that an officer should pray?" The officer asking these questions was a hard-bitten career soldier. He did not look like he prayed very often. I pondered, would I give him offense if I answered how I truly believed? I wanted to be an officer so that I would not have to do all-night guard duty and KP and clean latrines, but mostly so my sweetheart and I could afford to be married. I decided to be honest. I admitted I did pray, and that I felt officers might seek divine guidance, as some truly great generals had done. I told them I thought officers should be prepared to lead their men in all appropriate activities if the occasion requires, including prayer. More interesting questions came. In times of war, should not the moral code be relaxed? Does not the stress of battle justify men in doing things that they would not do when at home under normal situations? I recognized that here was a chance perhaps to make some points and look broad-minded. I suspected that the men who were asking me this question did not live by the standards that I had been taught. The thought flashed through my mind that perhaps I could say that I had my own beliefs, but I did not wish to impose them on others. But there seemed to flash before my mind the faces of the many people to whom I had taught the law of chastity as a missionary. In the end, I simply said, "I do not believe there is a double standard of morality." I left the hearing, resigned to the fact that these hard-bitten officers would not like the answers I had given and would surely score me very low. A few days later, when the scores were posted, to my astonishment, I had passed. I was in the first group taken for Officers' Candidate School. I graduated, became a second lieutenant, married my sweetheart, and we have lived together happily ever after. Stealing is all too common throughout the world. For many, their reasoning seems to be, "What can I get away with?" or "It's okay to do it as long as I don't get caught." Stealing takes many forms, including shoplifting, taking cars, stereos, CD players, video games, and other items that belong to someone else, stealing time, money, and merchandise from employers, making false claims on income tax returns, or borrowing without intention of repayment. No one has ever gained anything of value by theft. The stealing of anything is unworthy of a priesthood holder and unworthy of a daughter of God. In fact, any moral dishonesty is inconsistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You just can't have it both ways. By being dishonest, people only cheat themselves. There are different shades of truth-telling. When we tell little white lies, we become progressively colorblind. It is better to remain silent than to mislead. The degree to which each of us tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth depends on our conscience. Some athletes have been known to cheat by taking prohibited chemicals into their bodies in an effort to temporarily enhance their performance. Whether in sports or in the game of life, we need to achieve honesty under our own steam and not on false merit. I am confident the Lord will continue to bless us as we remain honest, faithful, and true. As President Gordon B. Hinckley has said, "Let the truth be taught by example and precept, that to steal is evil, that to cheat is wrong, that to lie is a reproach to anyone who indulges in it." Ensign, September 1996, page 7. All of us can climb high when we honor every form of truth. End of "Climb High" by President James E. Faust, second counselor in the First Presidency.